This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Whether you want to comment on Ukraine alleged war crimes or other developments going on in that area of the world or something going on down the street from you, whatever is on your mind, you can join us here tonight. It's Ian.
Nobody.
And Aria.
We're going to go back to your phone calls and thoughts here in a moment, but we were talking about the propaganda that is out there, and that you just can't believe much of anything that you read when it comes from the mainstream media, comes from the Ukrainian government, the U.S. government, the Russian government. But as I was saying before, I got to hand it to RT for at least appearing to be decent journalists.
You know, a few weeks ago, I saw this thing where they had, like, Russian soldiers, like, four or five of them, on some panel for some news special in Ukraine. They're like, these soldiers are going to tell us all about how guilty they feel, about how they didn't know what they were doing, and really? They feel bad about this. And it was so reminiscent of, you know, Animal Farm, where Orwell had these hens come out and just confess to their crimes before they were beheaded or whatever. And, of course, Ukraine didn't behead them. But it had that same sort of...
that vibe.
That's what you see out of the Soviet Union. Is enemy soldiers being paraded out there to the news conference so that they can make statements about how their government lied to them. That's what you saw out of the Soviet Union. And now it's the Ukrainian government doing it.
And I believe that their government probably did lie to them. I mean,
probably.
There's a good chance the Russian government is as much of a liar as the Ukrainian state. However, you know, I got to give them credit where credit's due. They do report at RT on some things that you wouldn't expect propaganda to do. So I gave one example, I think it was during the break, which we did cover on the air several weeks ago, was where there was, in the news, in the Western media, I saw headlines about, oh, Putin is shutting down opposition radio. Because we knew that there was a lot of, or an opposition TV station, that almost all the news in Russia is state-run.
Yes.
So it's not just RT, there's also like a all-Russian local, I forget what that one's called, there's Sputnik. RT and Sputnik are sort of designed to bring Russian propaganda out to the rest of the world, but then in Russia, there's internal news propaganda as well. But apparently there are some independent outlets there, and the news was that they were shutting them down. And so I went over to RT just to see if they had anything about the story, and sure enough, they had the story. So it could be argued that, well, the rest of the world's reporting on it, so of course RT had to report on it as well. But even in the report, they interviewed the editor of the liberal television station and got his opinion, right? So they actually did what a journalist would do. A journalist is supposed to. I understand most in the United States don't do this anymore because it's just essentially news opinion more than it is journalism. But a journalist is supposed to get, quote-unquote, both sides, right?
Right?
So they interview the people who are doing the shutting down of the radio station and the TV, and then they surprisingly interviewed the guy that works at the television station as the editor, the news editor.
Who, it's worth noting, was not in a gulag or in a Russian prison and unavailable for comment.
Well, at least not yet. That we were.
I mean, that is
of.
What you would. That's what I would expect, yeah. Right? It's like, okay, Vladimir Putin, they shut down this news organization, and now the owners are in prison. Okay, yeah, that sounds like Russia, right?
Well, and Russia is not a free place, right? Like one of the funny things about this is how Biden has been positioning Ukraine as some sort of freedom fighters. It's like Ukraine is not a free place. Russia is not a free place. None of these people are freedom fighters. They're people fighting for the state, they're fighting for domination, they're fighting for territory. Same old story. But speaking of Russia putting people in prison, here's a story from RT, and this one I've been holding on to. I teased it, I think, last week at some point, but headline, Russia criminalizes, quote, disinformation, unquote, about army. Russian lawmakers have approved legislation that could see people put behind bars for up to 15 years. years if found guilty of peddling so-called false information about the actions of the army amid Moscow's military operation in Ukraine.
I mean, that sounds really bad, but I could see something similar coming out of the United States government at this point.
Well, look what they want to do. Hold on. Look what they want to do to Julian Assange. They want to put Julian Assange away for 175 years in the United States, and he has never set foot in the United States.
And he told the truth.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't even disinformation. It was just the truth.
Truth is treason, and the empire lies.
Right. 15 years, by comparison, is like, you know, a short stay. 175 years is what the U.S. government wants to give this man for the truth.
And it's all wrong. It's all immoral, right? You shouldn't be able to throw anyone in prison for saying anything they want, right? Whether it's true or false, it's not worthy of a prison sentence, but you're absolutely right.
But Russia doesn't claim to be a free speech country. Right? Not that I've ever heard of, at least. And so this is just them doing what they do. But the point here is that RT is reporting on it. And the way they report on it is a very distinctly unpropaganda-like manner. Like, they use the word disinformation in quotes in the headline of the article. Russia criminalizes, quote, disinformation about army.
So whatever Russia's oligarchs determined to be disinformation. Which is weird, because you don't see that sort of thing out of the Chinese state propaganda networks, right?
They certainly don't do that in the United States. Look at all the times where they use the term misinformation when they're talking about fake news or whatever. It's just it's a statement of fact. This is misinformation. You've been banned from YouTube for misinformation. They don't refer to it as, quote, misinformation. And then in the first paragraph, if you're found guilty of peddling so-called false information.
They said so-called?
They said so-called in the first paragraph. So again, if this were a strange...
Did James write this article?
James...
I don't remember his last name. It was a joke about him. Always, the person who always says so-called everything.
The crazy caller.
Yeah.
So, again, like, if this were straight-up propaganda, you would expect them to just say false information without putting the word so-called in front of it.
That's true.
But anyway, going on. About the actions of the army amid Moscow's military operation in Ukraine. On Friday, the lower chamber of Russia's, and this was a few weeks ago, of Russia's parliament voted to introduce the law to heavily penalize citizens spreading fake allegations against the country's armed forces. The chairman of the State Duma, Vyacheslav Volodin, weighed in on the move, insisting that it is needed, quote, to protect our soldiers, officers, in order to protect the truth. He said further, literally by tomorrow, this law will force punishment, and very tough punishment, on those who lied and made statements which discredited our armed forces.
And I mean, again, this sounds terrible, but the Ukrainian government did just take over all of their news organizations and outright prevented them from being able to say disinformation about the Ukrainian military. So the Russians made it illegal. The Ukrainians made it impossible.
Defaming the Russian army could result in a fine of almost $13,500 or 3 years in jail. An offender could spend up to 15 years behind bars for intentionally spreading, quote, fake, unquote, information that causes significant damage to national security under revisions to the existing law. Anyone calling for anti-Russian sanctions may also find themselves in hot water. If deemed to be guilty, they could receive a fine of $5,000 or a three-year prison sentence.
I don't think any Russian out there is calling for anti-Russian sanctions. That's silly.
Some. I mean, there's probably some self-hating Russians.
But they're the only ones who are hurt as a result of that,
that's
right?
That's true.
Surely they know that.
I don't know what they know.
Surely they're like, hey,
how many people know that sanctions hurt the people? I mean, the people should know.
Surely the people in Russia know this by now. They're like, hey, this whole McDonald's Visa Pepsi thing, that's not hurting Putin, but man, I can't eat anymore or pay my bills.
Let's see here. On Thursday, Volodin claimed a measure was necessary to counter what he deemed to be the impacts of a U.S. disinformation campaign. Quote, American social networks controlled by Washington launched an information war against Russia. We cannot help but react to what's happening. It's necessary to make a decision to combat the spread of fake information. It's important to us that the information shared is true, and those who create and distribute it are responsible. And of course, they're the ones who get to decide what is and what is not true, which is no different from the American government and the American lapdog media here.
Yes, I'm in the street.
The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. So this is not good news. We as free speech lovers do not support it, but it's interesting that the Russian propaganda is actually reporting on some of the negative things that its state actors are actually doing to the people there. Again, makes me more likely to believe what they have to say.
Stock market have you nervous? With geopolitical conflict and inflation concerns, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you don't have to. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word DEMO to 813813 and discover how to predict stock market trends up to 3 days ahead with incredible accuracy. Whether you trade stocks, options, forex, futures, or crypto, Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text DEMO to 813813 to get what you need to stay ahead of the markets and find big moves before they happen. Don't wait. Text DEMO to 813813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of VantagePoint. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
I need to file my tax return right the first time. How can I be sure to do that?
Doing your taxes yourself? Using e-file is the best way to file an accurate tax return. Mistakes can delay your refund, so spend an extra few minutes making sure you can file an accurate return the first time around. Avoid common errors by spelling all names correctly and using correct Social Security numbers. Double-check your bank account numbers for direct deposit and double-check your math, too. Oh, yeah, don't forget to sign and date your return.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up, since nobody has been back on the air with us for the last four weeks, it's been a month now or so, maybe a little longer than that, I feel like, you've missed. mentioned on the air a couple of times that you just don't get the whole NFT thing, but it's always been at like the very end of the show, and we haven't had a chance to talk about it. So I do want to get into NFTs. There's a story that both you and I, Aria, found a couple weeks ago that we wanted to talk about, but we just didn't get around to it. And now that you're here, I think it's a good opportunity to get into it. Because suffice it to say, none of us understand the point of these NFTs.
But I see one point to them.
But we'll get into it coming up here. But we're going to go to your phone calls first. We got Sarah on the line in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yes. It turns out that Helen Keller had become a socialist after graduating from college. And she actually married a socialist man for a very short time, and then she annulled the marriage. So my thing is that socialism in America was very popular in the early 1900s, and especially the educated young people were socialists at that time. So I
yes, because the elite have always viewed socialism as an excellent tool of control of the masses.
Well, do you consider a handicapped, blind, deaf, dumb person that advocated for the disabled all her life is an elite socialist?
A woman who attended college in the early 20th century? Absolutely.
Privileged.
Yeah, absolutely, Sarah. I mean, she has some disadvantages, no doubt, being blind and deaf. And no doubt, lots of struggles there. But, you know, being the trans person in the room, let me say that these, quote, handicaps can often be an advantage to the person who has these handicaps. Like, she probably would not be popular as this person who wrote 14 books if she hadn't been born blind and deaf.
Well, the thing is that her college was paid for by other people that donated money, including Mark Twain. He really liked her writings.
And she should have stolen it if she wanted to be a socialist.
I don't get that. I think she was.
Yeah, you really don't get that. And I don't know if you're not getting it on purpose to be obtuse, but we've pointed out to you again and again that there's a key difference between someone who gives on their own volition, which is a virtue, to share voluntarily. That's what sharing is where you choose to give of your own wealth or give of your time or whatever to benefit another person or group of people. And then there's socialism and communism, where everyone is forced to, quote-unquote, give at the threat of violence. And that is what you are calling to support tonight. You're calling to support violence, the threats of violence, and coercing people to contribute to your favorite social ideas. And it's sick.
And let's focus on her.
Let her respond. Go ahead.
Okay, so she became a socialist because she wanted to take care of the deaf, blind, handicapped, and also the poor people. And that's one of the reasons that she became socialist. And
no, she didn't. She wanted to force
violence.
Other people to do that.
Well, do you want them to? So you're in favor of all the people just dying and starving to death, people that are handicapped?
I'm in favor of people not being forced to help them. If people want to help them, and I help people all the time, if people want to do that, then that's good. That's a virtue. But when you're forced at gunpoint to help people, A, it's not helping them, and B, it takes all the virtue out of it. All of a sudden, there's no satisfaction in giving because you didn't have a choice. And
well, yeah,
that's what you want to do, is you want to take away people's choices and say, you live your life by my values or it's a gulag for you.
Well, you know, Biden's not going to kill people because he's going to tax the rich. Right now, people that make over $100 billion, I don't know what.
Yeah, and that's how everybody ended up starving to death in Venezuela. Look into it. You should visit Venezuela. See what real communism looks like. It looks like people eating their pet dog.
She actually had someone call in. Actually, it was Stephen who called the show earlier tonight. He called the other day and offered Sarah to pay for her to move her into a commune in Virginia. He says apparently there's a few communes that still exist. They haven't completely failed in Virginia. And Sarah, you turned him down, right? Just because you don't actually believe in living your values. You just want to just talk about it, right?
Well, a more important job of educating people to socialism in America that we currently have? Because Helen Keller is the people
well, you're
that
not educating.
Advocated for this.
You're just
well,
talking.
Yes, I am.
No, you're just talking. You have no experience with communism. See, that's the thing, Sarah. You're not actually willing to do communism. You're not actually willing to live the life of a communist and go onto a commune where you'll actually have to work. Now, look, you're never going to be honest about this, but that's the reason why you don't want to join a commune, is because when it comes down to being in a community of, let's say, a few dozen people at most, they're going to know if you're not pulling your weight. You're not going to be able to hide amongst the pages of some sort of welfare form and in the midst of some huge bureaucracy where you can just suck down welfare payments for the rest of your life and live it easy. No, you would actually be required to go out into the field and maybe pick some fruits or vegetables and or be given some sort of a job that you would be expected on for the benefit of that particular commune to complete. That's why you won't join a commune, right?
Allergic to work?
Well, I already live in a socialist, democratic, communist state. New Mexico is a very democratic, socialist state. Because we voted for Biden, who's going to tax the super wealthy.
But you can still open a business in New Mexico. There's still some commerce going on that is, for the most part, voluntary. You do not live in communism. And you could, but you choose not to.
And mostly what they do is they tax the middle class, and then they hand it out to the rich and the corporations, and then they hand just enough off to the poor people to buy their votes, and it doesn't take much.
Sarah, thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You know, a lot of libertarians, for instance, would love to move to a free place. Right.
Oh yeah,
they
don't want to move to a place
that's
that
why we're here.
Needs, yeah, well, no, we're here because we want to move to a place and help make it free.
Correct.
The libertarians, they want to move to a place that is already free, that has already done that work.
Well, there's two types. There's the types that want to wait until we do all the work here in New Hampshire, and then they're going to come up, supposedly. And then there's those who actually understand that more people are needed now here in New Hampshire who love liberty, who are libertarian, voluntarist, anarchist types that want to live free and want to help us grow this movement and make more inroads. And, you know, if we get a chance tonight, the Free State Project has been posting every single day recently all this Free State derangement stuff going on where there's so many articles now by the haters.
We're owning the libs.
Oh, it is amazing. They are freaking out about the Free State Project and the libertarian migration here to New Hampshire, and it is at a fever pitch like nothing I have seen in the last 15 years of being here, and it's amazing. And it's only going to start getting even more intense as the elections approach.
They hate it when people are effective.
Yep, and that's the idea of libertarians moving together is effective. So, you know, if Sarah actually believed what she talks about, she would join one of those communes. But no, she just wants to talk and collect a welfare check. It's a lot easier. More coming up here at 603-283-6160. You can join us on Free Talk Live.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden says he's not walking back comments he made over the weekend in Poland, regarding a regime change with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Russia. The president tries to explain what he meant.
I was expressing the moral outrage I felt toward the way Putin is dealing and the actions of this man. Just brutality.
Biden adding that he's not concerned that his comments would escalate tensions over the war in Ukraine. The United Nations is demanding an investigation about alleged mistreatment of prisoners of war. The UN wants both Russia and Ukraine to launch probes. This comes after a video showed Ukrainian soldiers appearing to shoot those who are reportedly Russian prisoners. A senior Ukrainian presidential adviser on Sunday promised an investigation into what happened. USA Radio News. ISIS claims responsibility for an attack in Israel over the weekend.
Israeli officials are reporting ISIS terrorists killed two people and injured six in a shooting attack Sunday in the Israeli city of Hadera, about 31 miles north of Tel Aviv. The attack coincided with a regional summit in Israel's Negev Desert, where top diplomatic officials from the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Morocco, Egypt, Israel, and the United States are meeting to discuss security issues. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
A former Boy Scout leader is being held without bond in connection to sexual abuse charges. Mark Chapman is the first individual to be charged after Michigan's Attorney General investigated allegations of sexual abuse against Michigan members of the Boy Scouts of America. A probable cause hearing is scheduled for April 6th. The Storm Prediction Center says more severe thunderstorms could be heading for the Great Plains on Tuesday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join us here at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up, apparently a new thing is to have a robot go somewhere, and then you can watch the robot go on the vacation through a pair of VR goggles.
It's really sad. The whole metaverse is sad. But, I mean, we've been saying that for the last year or so. But what's refreshing to me is that now the media has finally come around and they've realized that, hey, this is actually really sad, pathetic technology that we're pimping. Like the person who fell off the digital cruise and got left behind in the digital ocean. And she's
like, I chose not to bring it in. I was just like, this is just too lame.
Why didn't you just take your headset off, man? There were solutions to this that were not completely freaking stupid.
So if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the precipitate.
We're going to get into stupid tech coming up here in moments, but I do want to say thank you to Justin Doling, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS Patreon. Justin has joined as a silver level supporter, which means Justin is contributing at least $5 a month over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's where you can go to sign up, and you get some cool perks if you do that. You get some benefits, and you help us advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. Help us get on more great radio stations. All around the country, we've got over 190 great stations that air the show at various different times throughout the week. And we can have more. It just takes time. It takes effort and money. And you can help us with the money part. So thank you, Justin, for joining us over at amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com. So we've commented on the NFT craze, and I think that's the right word for this. This is the latest crypto.
I would say NFT bubble.
Okay. Yeah, sure. It's probably a bubble. I mean, it's a craze and a bubble because it wouldn't be a bubble if it weren't a craze.
Oh, that's true.
But it's a craze with a lot of money behind it, and so that's why we've got a huge amount of money being thrown into these things. It's taken off in the last year or so, roughly, basically since COVID, I think, was when NFTs really started to blow up, certainly when I first heard of it. And it's the first night that we've had a chance to talk to nobody about this who has also expressed some skepticism of the topic. So, nobody, before we get into this story here from CNET about a recent, I don't know if we want to call this a bust when it comes to NFT, because they haven't all been big sellers, and we can get into this story here. But what is an NFT? What is your understanding? And remember, you know, we are on this general interest talk show. But so even though this is like a crypto topic, this is really a crypto topic that has gone international in a way like nothing else has ever done when it comes to crypto. Like, this has been the biggest splash. Every corporation has signed on for NFTs, it seems like. Everywhere you look, it's like Toys R Us has got an NFT, even though they don't exist anymore, and GameStop, and, you know, you name it, Microsoft, and AMC Theaters, and your favorite rock band. So
South Park mentioned NFTs before they mentioned Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's right.
That was actually pretty funny. Butters.
The future Butters.
I didn't know it was Butters when I saw the clip.
What did he call himself? Though he had a different name, didn't he?
It was pretty funny.
I don't remember the guy's name, but he had like a new name that he adopted for himself. Anyway, so can you define an NFT?
As I understand it, it's some sort of digital representation of rights to a piece of artwork, frequently a piece of low quality artwork, that you can store on the blockchain. I have no idea, to tell the truth, how it works. Like, do you have to have this to look at it, or can anybody see it on the
blockchain?
Anyone
can see it.
Okay, I could see some utility in this, in the concept of the NFT, right? Like, property registration, deeds, ownership. Like, who owns that Eclipse that's parked outside the studio right now? Well, let's look it up on the blockchain. So they look up the uniquely identifying information and go, oh, it belongs to Aria Demezzo, and no one else can own it unless I transfer that right to them, right? Having that recorded on the blockchain, to me, is infinitely better than having it recorded at the, you know, the DMV or whoever does that in the state of New Hampshire.
Because the blockchain is immutable.
Right. So I like that aspect of it. But that's not what it is. It's not being used to symbolize the ownership of physical goods.
No. Well, it could be. But and I think, didn't Melania Trump have something that was a physical good that she ended up buying for herself?
Yeah, but she also had like 1,700 of them or something like that. So
she had two different things.
She didn't understand what she had, I think.
So my understanding, and by no means am I an expert at this, but just from what I've read and what I've heard, the blockchain aspect of this, nobody, is what the NFT is. It's just some sort of a bit of data that you hold in your crypto wallet that says that you're the owner of an image, or in some other cases, like, you know, a song, or it doesn't have to be an image, but primarily that's what we see them as, but that you're the owner of the image at this URL. So the image itself isn't even included in the blockchain. It's just being hosted on some centralized server. Yeah, I don't know exactly what it looks like, but the image itself obviously can be copied a billion times. It's just an image.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this just says that you, by holding this Ethereum key or Solana key or whatever crypto they're selling these on, there's different blockchains that they're selling NFTs on, as I understand it. You, as the holder of this particular set of keys, prove that you own this image at this URL. And the crazy thing is, you're not
50 cents will get you a cup of coffee.
Yeah, you're not hosting that URL. So what if the host goes down? What if the host changes the image at the URL? What if they take what you thought you owned and put something else in its place? So there's all kinds of really, like, questionable aspects of this beyond the ridiculous craze and ridiculous price.
The most obvious question is, what's stopping me from using the artwork that...
Nothing.
From using, you know, Punk Lord 2077 or whatever it was that, you know, Visa bought. What's stopping me from using that?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. And my copy is 100% as good as their copy.
Yeah, this is something about digital ownership and the ability to...
Does it confer the copyright? Is that enforceable?
How could it be?
Not legally enforceable, but that's what it should do, in my opinion, right?
It could be by the copyright holder contractually saying that whoever owns this token owns the copyright on this particular thing, and anybody else who publishes it then can be
sued,
prosecuted or sued.
I like that idea, sort of. I don't like the whole suing them part of it, because, I mean, if I write a book or whatever, someone photocopies, and it's every bit as good as the one that, you know, I paid someone to sell that, hey, good for them, right? Maybe I should find a way to lower my shipping costs or my printing costs or whatever, so I can meet that expectation at that price range. But I don't necessarily disagree that there should be some way of recognizing that this is the original creator or owner of this particular piece of artwork, and any others are counterfeits of it. Whether there should be counterfeits for that, I mean, whether there should be punishment for that is different.
Well, how much do you want to pay the lawyers to go after some guy on Twitter who grabbed your Bored Ape number 757 and put it on their profile picture?
I wouldn't pay anything.
I mean, I guess if you paid $800,000 for it, you can probably afford to hire the attorney to go after anybody that uses it. So, yeah, I don't know nobody if it does include that, but it may.
I can imagine that would be...
Kind of like the... A lot of what they do with high-end art is they use it as a way to launder money.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, because the value of these things is purely subjective, you can sell it at any price, and nobody can say it wasn't the market price. So, you know, maybe I sell you something that's completely useless for $250,000 because you had some other reason you wanted to give me $250,000. And the fact that I sold you this worthless NFT makes it indistinguishable.
That's one of the most sensible explanations of the NFT craze that I've heard so far. But
Hunter Biden's art.
But that would just be massive amounts of money laundering.
Hunter Biden's art, because they want to bribe Joe Biden, and they can't do it without a lie to hide behind. So they buy the idiot crackhead son's finger painting.
This is actually what people have said about fine art before, like before NFTs.
Yeah,
well
known about fine art.
Right. The number is 603-283-6160. It also may explain why people buy their own NFT.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunny Bay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps, and shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now, because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day.
Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. ExtendoVite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in ExtendoVite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on ExtendoVite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get ExtendoVite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and you're invited. If you want to join the show, the number is 603-283-6160. And if you are caught up in this NFT thing, talk to us about it. Explain it to us. Because we're all of us are into crypto. We're not allowed to use crypto right now under ridiculous bail conditions due to the Crypto 6 situation at thecrypto6.com. You can go learn more about that. But I think it's fair to say that we all still love it. That we're absolutely. All still absolutely fascinated and transfixed by
if
cryptocurrency.
People are accused of robbing a bank. Do they... Are they forbidden to use dollars while they're on bail?
It's a great question. And I think that a motion should be made that that makes that point. Because I would like to have that ability, you know, for me to be able to manage my church's funds, which I can't do, basically, now that, because, you know, this show gets paid in cryptocurrency. We can't get paid, basically, by our advertisers. Just absolutely insane. But regardless, I wanted to get into NFTs. If you want to weigh in on this, you're welcome to join us at 603-283-6160. The craze makes absolutely no sense unless you go to nobody's explanation, which, as you pointed out, Aria, makes a lot of sense.
I think there's an alternative explanation, though.
What's that?
And that's just to say, it's a classic auctioning pump and dump. I mean, we see it in the classic video games market going on right now as well, where people are like, oh, the original Super Mario Brothers just sold for, you know, $450 yeah, or whatever. And it turns out that it was actually just someone secretly buying the game for themselves or whatever, or mm-hmm. they own the auction company or whatever.
Don't they call that wash trading?
I think so.
Term for that?
Mm. Or like Melania buying her own NFTs or some of these other people who we know are buying their own NFTs.
But isn't that also another way to do money laundering, right? If you're going to buy your own
NFTs. No, it's a way of manipulating the market and convincing people that a thing is worth a lot more than it's worth.
It could be both of those things.
Because then you have the media.
If you're transferring money to yourself, though, you're not really laundering it.
Well, you claim that it's not you. It's a customer buying it. It's passed through. So what they do is they look at these buyers on NFT, or on these NFT markets, these huge sales, and I don't know how many of them are like this, but I've heard stories, and Melania Trump is the most sort of high-profile example of this. Somebody goes and looks at the blockchain and says, oh, well, this was money that came from this wallet, which came from this wallet, which came from this wallet, and that's Melania Trump's wallet. Somehow they know this or whatever.
Sure.
And they say, oh, well, this is just Melania Trump buying her own NFT. And I'm sure she would say, nuh-uh.
In that particular case, that could be what happened. But then we see other cases where the media runs stories like, this random pixelated ape just sold for $850,000 in Ethereum, mm-hmm. and we don't know that it was actually the person who created it or whatever, just buying it from the sales. But now when they go to resell it, they're going to be able to say, hey, look, someone was willing to pay $850,000 for this thing, so that's the minimum I'll take. And then some loser comes along who has that much money to just throw away, and they bought into the hype because the media keeps telling them, oh, the last time this sold, it was for almost $1 million. So, yeah, I'm going to pay
$1 million. Flip it later for $2 million or right. something like that.
And that's happening in the classic video game market right now, and it seems to be going on in the NFT market from what I can tell.
The other thing that it could be is a psyop.
What do you mean?
Basically discredit crypto.
Hmm.
I don't know, man. Some of the most leading crypto people are really outspoken against NFTs.
Hmm. Well, maybe that's because they're worried that it's discrediting crypto.
Yeah.
Or because it's just stupid.
Well, and one thing it has done, it has definitely gotten a lot of people into crypto who otherwise hadn't have been, right? Or at the very least, you know, taught them about getting a wallet and how to get an NFT, whatever that process is. I don't know how you do it, but...
And I suspect that's why we see people accidentally accepting DAI, which is a dollar token, mm-hmm. essentially, instead of Ethereum, because they're one of these new people. They don't know what they're doing. They bought into the craze. So they mm-hmm. bought this thing for 115 Ethereum or whatever, and then someone bought it for 115 DAI, and they don't know the difference.
Yeah, so it's probably... It's probably as simple as getting an Ethereum wallet or Solana or whatever, and then going on one of these NFT markets, and then this thing appears in your wallet, and now you're the owner of the NFT. Congratulations, you got bragging rights. And why anyone cares?
I bet that feels so empty. You know?
I don't know. Okay, great. Congratulations.
Do you think they, like, celebrate with a glass of wine and a cigar or whatever?
I guess they're throwing NFT parties. So people with the certain yacht or like the Bored Ape NFT, they're in this thing called the Yacht Club, and so they'll have a party at like a Bitcoin conference, and you can only get in if you're one of the NFT owners. Anyway, here's a story from CNET.com.
See, that makes me want to throw a party where you can only get in if you don't have an NFT. Because I don't want these stupid people at my parties, right? And that seems like a really good way of weeding them out.
Maybe you do want them there so you can sell them something.
I can't sell them an NFT right now.
That's
even
true.
If I could, even if I wanted to.
Daniel Van Boom reporting over at CNET.com about the Pixelmon NFT craze that turned out to be a huge bust. It's meant to be the Pokemon of NFT games. Set in the world of Eden, Pixelmon is to be an open-world RPG where Pixelmon creatures are caught, traded, and sold as non-fungible tokens. That's what NFT stands for. We should have mentioned that earlier. Upon the game's launch at the end of the year, Pixelmon NFT holders are to be given land that they can use to create living spaces or become in-game merchants by setting up a shop. To fund the project, Pixelmon developers released a collection of 10,000 Pixelmon NFTs in February.
I mean, all of this sounds really good so far, right?
It sounds boring as hell.
I don't know. The video game could be fun, right? Pokemon's fun.
I've never played it.
And here's like a cryptocurrency version of Pokemon, like CryptoKitties or whatever mm-hmm. it was. That sounded fun. I mean, you buy this CryptoKitty.
I wasn't interested in that either. That was basically the first NFT.
It was, but they weren't NFTs. They weren't unique.
Yeah, they were. They were unique.
But they had equipment, you could level them up. There was a game aspect to it that I could at least understand.
Okay.
Just buying this digital ape or a rock, which is 6 pixels, so that you can say you own it, I don't understand that. And I don't understand wanting to spend tens of thousands of dollars owning, you know, a digital cat so you can play this
Me neither.
Virtual reality game with other people. But maybe $10 or $15, okay. I spent worse on stupid video games. So I bought Goat Simulator, sure.
That one looks like fun. I've seen
it. It was a
Goat Simulator?
Yes.
Kind of a sex toy?
No, it's...
No, it's a funny-looking game where you just run a goat around in an open world and cause all kinds of havoc.
I also bought COVID Simulator for $2.99 on Steam. It's terrible. It's not even worth that much, but it's stupid.
So back to the story here. They are trying to fund this game. So the game doesn't exist yet. Right, they're trying to
raise
money.
Which is never a good start, because I'm against, you know, I'm not against crowdfunding, but I'm against this sort of pre-alpha, what is the word I'm looking for? Gaming companies do it all
vaporware.
The time. Well, it often becomes vaporware, but they have a term that they use in the gaming industry specifically for this.
Early access?
That's it.
Yeah.
I hate that crap.
I don't even know if this is there yet. They're just trying to fund this project. So they offered this 10,000 NFTs. They managed to raise $70 million, a budget usually associated with blockbuster PlayStation or Xbox games. But the project hit a roadblock. After raising all that money, the team unveiled the Pixelmon that would inhabit their game world. The project has been a laughingstock on social media ever since. First, some context. NFT collections featuring 10,000 NFTs are not unusual. See the Bored Ape Yacht Club for the most popular example. However, in the primary sale, where people buy directly from the creators, the price is usually below 0.1 Ethereum, or roughly, at the time of this writing, $280, which to me is way too much money for, you know, an image. It's only the secondary market, however, markets like OpenSea, that prices can rise to a small fortune, or more commonly, fall to zero. Pixelmon was different. It was an incredibly hyped project, being attached to an ambitious open-world game. The team behind the project sold the collection through a Dutch auction, where the price began at 3 Ether, about $9,000 worth, and would lower by 0.1 Ether every 10 minutes until the last NFT was gone. The collection sold out in an hour, with the NFTs selling for between 3 Ether and 2.4 Ether, so as much as $7,000 to $9,000 worth of cryptocurrency each. And again, there were 10,000 of these. The team raised over $70 million worth of crypto from the sale. Stylish, voxelated Pixelmon monsters had been advertised on Twitter. A demo video claiming to show real gameplay footage had convinced investors and speculators to bet big. Now, we're on a radio show. We can't show you what these images look like, but to describe them, they look like very sort of pixel. Well, they're called Pixelmon, right? So they're like sort of the big pixel style of art, but they're very nicely formed. They had a good artist put these things together.
They look like something you would find in a video game, right?
Yeah, I still wouldn't pay 5 cents for them, but I could understand why somebody who loves video games might and was into the Pokemon thing or whatever might be getting excited for this.
Sure.
So then they give you several examples of what these things were purported to look like. Then on February 26th came the reveal. NFT art collections often have a scheduled mint date, that is the primary sale, and then a reveal date a few days later. After minting the NFT, placeholder art shows up in the owner's wallet. Upon reveal, you see what NFT you got. See, this is something I learned from reading this article that I didn't know about NFTs. I had no idea that people buy NFTs without even knowing which one they're going to get. One out of 10,000 you'll get. You have no idea what it's going to be. There's more coming up here in Hour 3.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamgaday.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. Teamgaday.com. Teamgaday.com.